We have something on our heart. We've been carrying this type of burden for a good little while. Lord's changed some things on it for this particular message. But I felt like by the leadings of the Lord that it would be a good message to start the meeting with. So let's open in 12th chapter of Isaiah, first verse, 12 and 1. Desire your prayers. The Lord will have mercy on us tonight and help us out. Well, first let me ask us a question. Let's just hold that. I want to jump back to Revelation and want to ask us a question. How close are you to God tonight? You know, we could say, well, I'm pretty close to the Lord. But that really is not what matters. What matters is what God says. And over in Revelation, when he's dealing with the churches, he let them know that I know thy works, yes, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou were cold or hot, and so forth. It goes on down. And he said there that because I'm rich, increased with good, have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked, and I counsel thee. Well, tonight, the main thing is, the Lord knows where we're at. This meeting is a meeting to help all of us. It's not just for sinners. It's not just for saints, hypocrites, or backsliders. It's for everybody. So consequently tonight, this meeting is to stir us up by the working of the Spirit of God to get our attention wherever we might be, feed us, challenge us, stir us, where we will be moving and drawing toward God. God wants us to get closer to him. And so we say, yeah, I'm pretty close, Brother Carl. But what would the Lord say tonight? What would he tell you if he walked in that back door and just went aisle to aisle and he's here, his Spirit's here? But what will he tell us tonight? How close are you to God? How close do you want to be to God? All right, let's go here to the 12th chapter of Isaiah. First verse, and in that day thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee. Though thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation. Therefore, with joy shall you draw water out of the wells of salvation. And in that day shall you say, praise the Lord. Call upon his name. Declare his doings among the people. Make mention that his name is exalted. Sing unto the Lord, for he hath done excellent things that is known in all the earth. Cry out and shout, thou inhabitant of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee. Now then, a while back, one night, 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning, I was up for a little bit. It felt like the Lord spoke to me. He said, draw nigh to God. Now, if we draw nigh to God, he'll draw nigh to us. And here he said, and in that day thou shalt say, O Lord, I'll praise thee. Though thou was angry with me, and thine anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me. Behold, God, look at, consider. Listen, folks, we're saved tonight by the grace of God. It's not because of who we are, where we come from, how smart or whatever we are. The bottom line is we've got what we've got because Jesus Christ was good enough to reach down, deal with us, draw us, convict us, stir us, and then save us when we repented of our sins. So he is my salvation. I'm going to trust in him. I'm not going to be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation. Therefore, with joy shall we draw water out of the wells of salvation? Listen tonight, how thirsty are you? How much do you want from God? People out there, they don't want to seem to have anything to do much with God anymore. But what about you and I tonight? Are we really interested in God? Are we really interested in knowing more about God? Are we really interested in digging and getting down into the good thing? So he said, draw with joy. Therefore, with joy, shall we draw water out of the wells of salvation. Now, water is something that refreshes and helps us. It keeps us alive, the natural thing. You've got to have water. We were at the up in the Grand Canyon area the other day, and the woman on the train that we went from Williams up to Grand Canyon, they she told her, said, keep hydrated. You're up at a higher altitude. Don't go without water. Keep drinking and drinking. I got plenty of it right back here in the back of the car. And she's real interested in us staying hydrated. Listen, folks, tonight, we need to draw close to God. We need to get everything out of the wells of salvation that you and I need to help us be able to go and do exactly what He wants us to do. But are we doing that?
Lord, help us.
Are we trying to do this in our own strength? Are we doing it in the strength of God? You and I are going to have to pull from Him. We can't do it on our own. We're going to have to pull from the Lord. All right, let's go to John, the 4th chapter. Say John, the 4th chapter and the 7th verse. John 4 and 7. No. John 6 and 44. John 6 and 44. I'm sorry. John 6 and 44. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him. And I'll raise him up at the last day. Then 12 and 32 of St. John. 12 and 32 of St. John. He said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. And then Hebrews 7 and 19, which is a beautiful scripture. Hebrews 7 and 19, he said, for the law had made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did, by the which we draw nigh unto God. Now we can do what the Old Testament couldn't do. They were not able to do with God like we can do today. We have an open relationship, a close relationship. We can do things that God is allowing by the blood and the working of the Spirit of God. We're able to get close to God. We're able to draw nigh to God. We can go in. The only one that could go in before in the Holy of Holies was the high priest, if I remember right. But you and I can go in. We can get in the presence of God. We can reach out and cry and beg and plead. Whatever we need to do, it's available for you and I. He said, draw nigh to God. He said there, though, he said that no man can come unto me except the Father which sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. Listen, folks, the bottom line was, when you went to get saved, the Lord had to draw you. He had to start this process. He had to start it. He had to get it going. He drew. He called. He convicted. He condemned. He worked with some of us maybe many months, maybe many years. But then when it got to the point, we began to reach out to Him and come to Him. And as we did, He saved our soul when we repented. So He's got to start the process. He wants a relationship with you and I. He's interested. Why did He create man? Well, He had all the animals. They do anything He wanted them to do. Why did He create us? He wanted to have an individual with a will that wanted to live for Him. Wanted to have communion with Him. Wanted to reach out with Him and love Him and show Him love. And He wanted to meet with us in the evening, in the morning, in the stillness of the day, and talk with us, spend time with us. Oh, tonight, draw nigh to God. How close to God are you? How much relationship have you had with Him lately? How deep is your relationship? All right, let's go to 1 Samuel 14 and 36. 1 Samuel 14 and 36. 1 Samuel 14 and 36. And Saul said, let us go down to the after the Philistines by the night and spoil them unto the morning light. And let us not leave a man of them. And they said, do whatsoever seemeth good unto me. But then said the priest, let us draw near hither unto God. Something fixed to happen, and we need to check with God. Listen, folks, today the ministers have been telling every one of us in here for years we need to draw nigh to God.
Yes,
we need to have a close relationship. We need to pull off of Him. We need to be able to reach up. We need to know what it's like to draw nigh to God. We need to be able to get down and say, Lord, have mercy on me and help me and reach up and touch me and bless me and help me. We need to have a relationship where we know how when we get to a situation, we know how to pull from God. We know how to get prayers answered. We know how to get a touch physically. If we're in a shape and we're trusting God and reaching out to Him, we need to know how to do these things. And we can sit back on our laurels if you want to sit that way. But the bottom line is God wants you and I to get a relationship with Him that we can do what we need to do when we need to do it. Because you don't know when you may need Him so badly. We can just rock along and, oh, I'm doing good. Oh, the pastor's preaching great messages and I've been attending meetings and everything's going great. And then we get in trouble and we find out we don't have what we thought we had. We're not exactly where we thought we was. And we get ourselves into trouble because we don't have a relationship of drawing nigh to God. And keeping a relationship. Draw nigh to God and said that He will draw nigh to you. He loves you. He wants you to reach out to Him. Amen. Now then, I want to be right when I say this, or balanced when I say what I'm fixing to say. But when a couple is married and they have a loving relationship, if a husband wants to touch his wife, he can't do that when she's 15 feet away from her. I'm an affectionate man, always have been. And so consequently, anybody in here, whether it be the wife or the husband, if you want to have a touch from them, you've got to get close enough to get it. You've got to reach out to them. You've got to walk up. If you want to take them in your arms or whatever, you've got to be able to get close enough to get it. You can't do it way out there. You can't, even at arm's length, you can't touch them, so to speak. You've got to get close enough. So, Lord, help us. The Lord wants us to get close enough we can touch Him. That's pretty close, isn't it? So, how close are we tonight? Can we touch Him? All right, let's go to Isaiah 57. Isaiah 57, draw nigh to God and He will draw nigh to you. There is times that couples, they hurt one another or whatever, and there's not the attention, the affection and whatever that there was at one point. But there has to be a place where that you get warmed back up to one another. There has to be some humbling. There has to be maybe some tears. There may be, I'm sorrys. They may be down on your knees begging forgiveness between you and them and the Lord. There's got to be something to get that closeness going. Well, if you and I fail God, we've got to get that closeness back. And the way to do it is get out and beg for mercy. He said those that just fall 7 times, but they rise again. Listen, folks, we want to, if we stumble, if we make a mistake or get ourselves into trouble by ignorance, I'm not talking just outright sin, but we do make mistakes sometimes, and we do have to repent, we do have to ask for mercy, but the bottom line is that we need to get out and beg for the Lord and get back up and go again. And say, Lord, I love you. When did you tell Him the last time you loved Him? When's the last time that you said, Lord, I want you close to me? When's the last time you said, I'm going to stay on my knees and let a blessing from God? There was a man one time that was wanting a real blessing for the Lord. So he told his wife, he said, I'm going to go to the basement and I'm going to stay there and let get a blessing. So he did. He went down and he prayed. And he prayed some more. And he prayed some more. And he prayed some more. And he said, then the Lord come down and touched him and blessed him. And he come up out of that basement. He was shouting. He was praising God. He was rejoicing because the Lord had touched him. He had met Him. Listen, folks, today we live in a very fast society. We live in a society that we're not careful. We don't read very much. We don't pray very much. We're getting up and going. We're praying on the go and so forth. And we're just going our merry way. But the Lord says, I want you to draw nigh to me. I want you to get close to me. Oh, Brother Ed Searle, some of you remember him. He was a cousin by first marriage. And he stood up at Guthrie one time many years ago. And he stood up when I was pastor there. And he said, well, he said, Babylon teaches 10% giving. He said, I want to challenge this another way, 10% of our time, every day the Lord. Amen. Well, I listened to what he was saying. I thought about it. That's 2.4 hours a day just given to God. Now, what would your relationship be if you'd done that? Lord, have mercy. There's sometimes I'm in the Word all browers, so to speak. I mean, I take breaks. I don't just constantly read and pray. But I'm ready. I'm seeking. I'm begging. Every minister has to do this. But what about you? Well, that's you, preacher. You need to do that. But what about you? You need to make heaven. You need to have power. You need to have authority. You need to be where the Lord wants you to be. So consequently, if I've got to do it, what about you? The Lord don't set it up where the preachers is the only one that's got to pray and fast and seek and get down on our knees. He wants all of us to do it. If we're going to have a close relationship with God, we're going to have to get to the place where we're willing to do what it takes to get it done. And sometimes that ain't easy. You got to sacrifice. People are out there and they want to have a certain woman, or maybe a woman sees a man and she's desiring him, and she's maybe wanting to do something to get his attention. I know of a case in Missouri, and a woman had lost her husband, and then a friend, they had been schoolmates, and he lost his wife. So she waited a while, I don't remember how long, but she sent a word through the family to him and said, if you'd be interested, I would be too. And that started it. Now that you say, well, that's a woman, shouldn't do that. Well, I don't know why Mary done it, but she done it. But it got results, and they had a good marriage. Stayed married for a number of years. And then she died, he died, and so forth. But the bottom line is, listen, folks, tonight, what does it take to get you and I closer to God? Sometimes people start getting sick and afflicted, and they start crying out to God. But why don't we do it when we're in good health? Reaching out then, you can do something then. If you're laying on the bed, you can't do a whole lot but pray and maybe fast and have a companion pray and so forth. You're relying on others, and sometimes you're relying on part of their faith to be able to get through to God. How close are we to the Lord tonight? He said, draw nigh to God. What is your desire for this meeting? Have you come into this meeting with a set mindset, I guess is the best way to put it, that, Lord, I see I'm short right here and I want to get help? Or maybe you want to have more faith, or maybe you want to get victory in a certain thing, or have power or authority. What is your mindset? The Lord said, draw nigh. Draw nigh to God. Come to me. Love me. Get close to me. Oh, the Lord loves a close relationship. He loves that. All right, Isaiah 57, third verse. But he said here, draw near hither, you sons of sorcerers, the seed of the adulterer and the whore. Against whom do you sport yourselves? Against whom make ye a wide mouth and draw out the tongue? Are you not children of transgression, a seed of falsehood, inflaming yourselves with idol under every green tree, slaying the children in the valleys, under the cliffs of the rocks? Among the smooth stones of the stream is thy portion. They are thy lot. Even to them hast thou poured a drink offering. Thou hast offered a meat offering. Should I receive comfort in these? Now he said, but draw near hither. You sons. All right, back over here in James. You don't have to turn there. I'm just going to tie something together here a little bit. He said here in the fourth chapter of James, in the eighth verse, he said, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Now, the commentators make the deal that this basically is one scripture in itself, and the next words go in another place. But then he says, cleanse your hearts, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Well, I can see where Clark and some of them can say that. But I can also see this. That these people that stand there, that you're sinners, purify your hearts, you double-minded. Those people that are out there, and then what he says over here in Isaiah 57, he said, but draw near hither, you sons of sorcerers and seed of adulterer and of whore. In other words, you're in trouble. You're a sinner. You're down deep in sin. You need help. Listen, it's going to take you drawing close to God to get help. Yes. You ain't going to do it way out in the middle of nowhere. You're going to have to get close to that power source. That power source of deliverance is what's going to cleanse people and help people and bless people and deliver people. And if they don't get close enough to get it, they won't get it. They're going to have to get down and humble. They're going to have to get down as low as they need to go for God to be able to get to them. Oh, tonight, draw nigh to God. I don't care where your spiritual position is tonight. The Lord is saying, wherever you are, maybe you're not what you ought to be. There was a person many, many years ago in the state of California. He was leading singing. And I know I'm throwing any reflections on anybody, but he was up leading singing. And I happened to look, and all of a sudden, he was down at the altar praying. Though, what's wrong with him? And he got up and confessed that he had been hypocriting for quite a while. He wasn't what he ought to be. He many years later then, heard him testify again, and he said he finally got what he needed, but he had to, in so many words, draw nigh to God to get that. To get a hold of God. To get where he needed to be. Folks, listen. Like I said, you can't hug your wife and you can't hug your husband if you're a mile away, so to speak. You've got to draw nigh to them to be able to take them in your arms. You're going to have to get close to God for him to take you in his arms, so to speak, and deliver you and bless you and help you. Whatever you need tonight, he's got it, but he wants you to come to him. One man, one time, I was in a business and I was cleaning, polishing a floor, waxing, polishing, whatever, doing the buffer. I was going back and forth on the floor, and there was a man sitting over there, and he was reading the Bible. And so I opened my big mouth and I commented on him. And so he looked at me and he said something. I say, how did he put it? He said, "Have you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ?" I believe the way he said it. And I said, "Sir, I said, the Lord has forgiven me, saved me, washed me, redeemed me, sanctified me," whatever said. And I got to thinking about a lot of people today. They say just join the church of your choice. They say just accept the Lord Jesus Christ. But it's more than that. He's going to have to accept you. You can write up a resume and put it in every business in Fresno, California, but if they don't call you, give you a time, and interview you, and then hire you, you'll never get one red cent. You're going to have to be him except you. So consequently, it's not this you accept the Lord. I mean, that's part of it. But the bottom line is, he's going to have to accept us. And the way he does that is by you and I following the Word of God. And drawing nigh to him and saying, "Lord, I want you. I need you." One time I had a problem. And I went to one preacher and talked to them. I went to another minister and talked to them. And the second one, we had prayer that night. And I went home. And when I got home, the Lord spoke to me. He said, "I can help you with that. I can help you." That was encouraging. So the next morning, had a pretty good night's sleep. The next morning I woke up. This is before I married Sister Molly. And I woke up and I was laying there praying. And the Lord spoke to me. And he said, "What you need to do is surrender this whole thing to me. Give it to me. Turn it loose." What do you think I did? You think I laid there? I got up on my bed and I went to my place in my prayer and bedroom. And I started pouring it out. And I poured and I poured and I turned loose and I give up. And surrendered everything. And then in a little bit, here come the power. Oh, glory. He come down because I was drawn nigh to him. Listen, folks, this is not only preachers, but it's anybody that's not where they're at or they need victory and so forth. We're going to have to get out and just nestle up and say, "Lord, have mercy on me and help me, praise God. Help me." Brother Simmons, when he got saved that night, he had prayed and prayed and he couldn't get anywhere. And finally he said, "Lord, if you can do anything for me, have mercy on my soul and save me." And when he said that, he got it. He come up from there shouting and rejoicing because he drew nigh to God and he said, "Lord, have mercy on me and deliver me and bless me." Listen, what do we need tonight? It's there just real close between you and God. He said, "I can help you, son. I can help you." And then he told me what to do. And when I done it, listen, is he telling you what to do? Are you doing it? Are you reaching out? Are you drawing nigh? Are you saying, "Lord, I want the victory tonight. I've had this problem for a good while, and I want victory." There was one time that I had a problem with forgiveness. A number of people had done me wrong. And I thought I'd get them forgiven and then discover I hadn't got it done. And I'd try again. And I thought I got it done. And then I found out it wasn't what I thought it was. And this went on for a good little while, going back and forth, me trying and so forth. And finally, I told the Lord, I said, Lord, you got the key to this thing. And if you don't do something, I ain't going to get anywhere. I got to have you. Listen, folks, we got to have God. We can't do it without Him. And so one morning then, I was going to pray on my birthday. And I don't know what happened. I was going to fast and pray. Something messed that up. But the next day, I was scheduled to go to Webb City for meeting. And the Lord, I went up so far on the turnpike. See, I was on the second turnpike. I guess I was on Will Rogers. And I stopped at the midway point. When I got back in the van, the Lord sat down in the seat by me. I didn't have anybody in there. I don't know why Rebecca and the girls wasn't with me, but I was by myself. And the Lord told me exactly what I need to do. He said, what I want you to do is you're going to have to die out to self to every one of these. You're going to have to take them and you're going to, he asked me, he said, what do you do when a person dies? I said, well, you put them in a casket. He said, then what do you do? I said, well, you shut the lid. He said, then what do you do? I said, you bury them. He said, then what do you do? I said, you put a gravestone so you know where they're at. He said, you're going to have to do that with every one of them. I couldn't forgive them, folks. Listen, there is people that can do us wrong that you can't forgive them in your own strength. It's going to take God. There is a spirit of forgiveness that will help us. I heard Sister Catherine Williams talk about this many years ago, and I never experienced it like that at that time. But she had gone through something, and it took God to help her. And she's way older than me in experience and years. But it took her. It took Him helping her. Listen, I had to do the very same thing. And I started praying. And I took each individual. I'd call them out by name, and I'd take them, and I'd put them in a casket, and I'd do like this. Now, if anybody's watching me going down the road, they thought, here's a nut for sure. Because here I'm doing a hammer. What are you doing a hammer? I was shutting the lid down. I dug the hole. I put the gasket in it. I raised up. And I went to everyone, name by name, person by person. I died out the cell. I turned them loose. I surrendered the whole deal. And when I got through, praise God, I had the victory. And I still got the victory. But it took the Lord. It took me drawing nigh to God and saying, Lord, I can't do this in myself. I've got to have you, praise the Lord. You're going to have to come to the place that you figure out that you can't do it yourself. It's going to take God. And when you do that, you're going to have to draw nigh to God to get it then. Reach out and say, Lord, I need you badly. I love you, Lord. When's the last time you told Jesus that you loved Him? When's the last time you say, oh, I want to just get real close. I want to nestle up to you. Oh, when's the last time? Sometimes we might tell our companions several times a day. Or several times now, baby, I love you. That's good. But I'm going to tell you, we need to tell God we love Him too. He not only wants to hear it, but He wants to know it. Because you want a relationship with Him. Listen, folks, we got a lot of people that's hypocriting in this country. We got people in Babylon that's shouting and carrying on. That's not living the life. I went to a funeral one time in Wichita. Sister Belinda Simon's father had died. And I went to this funeral. They invited me to go. We was in a meeting up there. And so I went to the funeral. Well, when I got there, things just didn't seem quite right in this particular church. And the pastor of the church got up and he started acting just a little bit different. He was jumping and hollering and shouting and carrying on. Well, I don't mind having a joyful homecoming for the one that dies, but this was just a little more than I could about grasp. And I looked at him and I didn't know what to think. Now, his son actually preached the funeral, and I'm going to have to say that the man that died, his son preached it, he done a pretty good job. Except he didn't clinch it at the end. That's what bothered me. He had it laid out there and explained it well. The Church of God preachers would have nailed that thing down and left it. But he didn't do that. He had it perfect where he could nail it. He didn't do it. Well, I went to church that night. Some of them talked to me about the funeral. And they was talking to me. And I said, brothers, something was wrong there today. They said, yeah, there it was. He said, you don't know what it was? I said, no. He said, that man that was MC and the pastor of that congregation was drunk. I said, I couldn't believe that. I said, you serious? Yes, sir, I am. He said, we was going to ask you to come to another funeral in the afternoon, but said, we decided you'd have about all you could take, and we ain't going to invite you again. Said, that pastor would drink on Saturday night, get drunk, they'd throw him in jail, the congregation would bail him out Sunday morning and preach to him. Lord have mercy. You talk about hypocrisy. You talk about sin. You talk about the depth of the devil working in Babylon today. They're out there. Listen, God wants more than that, folks. He wants obedient. He wants loving people that want him and want to draw nigh to him and have a relationship that is close to God. Yes. How close are we? All right, let's go to Hebrews, the 10th chapter. I've got some more to preach here. By the help of the Lord. 10th chapter and about the 19th verse of the good book of Hebrews. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiness by the blood of Jesus, by a new and a living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God. A high priest. Not just any priest, but a king of kings, a lord of lords, a high priest, somebody that's above it all. Let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he's faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as a manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more the more, and so much more, so much the more as you see the day approaching. Now then, he said, in having a high priest, let us draw near. Let us draw near. Come boldly under the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in every time of need. Come boldly. Now what does that mean, come boldly? That means you're just somebody and you're marching up there? No. The fact is, he said, in having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our heart sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. In other words, to me, when he said, come boldly under the throne of grace, just come now. Come to me. In other words, we're in a position. We're his child. We're somebody that's washed and redeemed, saved and sanctified, happy and going on the way, drawing nigh to God. And now then he's on the throne of grace. And he said, come. I want you to come nigh. I want you to draw nigh. I want you to come in full assurance of faith. I want you to come to the throne of grace that I've got. I'm sitting on the right hand of the Father, and I'm here to help you. I want you to bless. I want to bless you. I want to help you. But I want you to come. Let us therefore come boldly. Come boldly under the throne of grace. Oh, I love that scripture. And he said, let us draw near. Now then, do you have tonight a heart, a true heart in full assurance of faith? That you're saved? That you're sanctified? That you're where you ought to be? Are you in a position where you can come? If you're married, and you know you're married, so to speak, not shacking up with somebody, and you know that you have a right to be with your wife, to touch her and so forth, to love her and be with her, or with him and so forth. You have that right. Well, listen, folks, if we have the right of salvation, that gives us a right to come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may get close to God.
Yes, amen.
And get his blessings.
Yes.
How many blessings do you want in this meeting? Some people say they just come to the meeting and just kind of go along and somewhere. Listen, a revival meeting is a time to draw nigh to God.
Yes.
We ought to do it all the time. But these meetings are held for the good of souls and for the glory of God. Now then, what are you after tonight? What do you want? He said, let us draw near. Let us draw near with a true heart, clean, righteous heart. In full assurance of faith. Oh, I told the Lord those times. I knew when I couldn't forgive those people, I flat come to the place. I thought, Lord, you've got the key. You're going to have to help me. That's where you're going to have to get. Lord, you can do it. We pitter-patter around. We put it off. We dilly-dally. But the bottom line is all you got to do is say, God, have mercy on me and help me.
Amen.
He told me that night. I can help you. He can help you tonight. So let us draw near. I want to encourage us tonight that he is there for you and I. He died when he got in that vision with me, or appeared in that vision in 1985. He said, I died for you, child. That means something to me. I couldn't tell you what he looked like, but I know what he told me. He said, I died for you. He died for you individually, and he wants to bless you tonight. He wants to bless you in his body. He wants to help you no matter what it is, spiritually, physically, mentally, emotionally. He's got a healing power in him that he can help us in any way that we need tonight.
Thank the Lord.
But are we willing to draw near? I want to encourage us as much as I can. I want to challenge your faith tonight that he can do it for you. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. For he is faithful, that promised. And let us consider one another. Other to provoke unto love and good works. All right. Let's go to Isaiah 29. Isaiah 29 tonight. Now this gets back to what I was saying a while ago. I got ahead of myself a little bit maybe. But he said, wherefore the Lord saith, for as much as this people draw near me with their mouth, and with their lips do honor me, but have removed their heart far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the precepts of men. Therefore, behold, I will proceed to do a marvelous work among this people, even a marvelous work and a wonder. For the wisdom of their wise men shall perish, and the understanding of their prudent men shall be hid. Woe to them that seek deep to hide their counsel from the Lord, and their works who are in the dark, and they say, who seeth us and who knoweth us? Surely your turning of things upside down shall be esteemed as a potter's clay. For shall the work say to him that made it, he made me not? Or shall the thing framed of him that framed it say, he had no understanding? Now, we live in a society where people draw near with their mouth. And with their lips, they do honor him, but have removed their heart far from me. Matthew 15, 8 and 9. Is the New Testament off of that. And the brother wrote it quite well. He said, this people draw nigh to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. Now, there had been people here that had a profession and didn't live for God all the way back to Christ. Well, really before that.
Yes, Lord help us.
But if we just put it into the Lord's timing, when he got here, he had a bunch of people that should have just immediately recognized him.
Yes.
And went to loving him.
Yes.
And serving him and doing for him, and they rejected him.
Lord help us.
They didn't recognize him. They didn't even know who he was, so to speak. And they tried to catch him this way and that way. And they would hoop and holler. They would teach things that wasn't after the Bible. It was after the commandments of men. It was after their doctrines and their ideas and their plans. Listen, folks, that's a great, great thing going today. It's been that way for years. And you all know it. It binds people. It changes people. It challenges people. But it don't free people. It don't bless people. It don't give liberty and freedom and power and authority. It keeps them in a bind. And they're there. And they think, oh, this is a good deal. Till they really see what real freedom is. Praise God. And that's through the blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, there's people out there in Babylon so caught up, so deceived, so mixed up and messed up. It can mess them up so bad that I've seen them come back to us and couldn't get straight. Couldn't get balanced. That's the best way to put it. They couldn't get balanced. They tried. I've watched them for years. And they would come in. And I'm talking about some that left us and then come back. I better clarify myself a little bit. I ain't going to name no name. But I watched them down through the years because I was around when the whole mess started.
Yeah.
And they got out there and they have gotten so messed up mentally, emotionally, every way I guess you can say. And then they tried to come back, and they some of them would do good, and then they would just kind of fade away back into Babylon, going here, going there, doing this, doing that. Oh, tonight, folks, we need to be careful. People draw near me with their mouth. There was a funeral one time of one of Rebecca's cousins. She died in September before Becky died in January. They were very close. We went to the funeral in Kansas City, Missouri. This Baptist church had 100,000 square feet. It was a huge thing. And we went there. And I had been to a wedding there. And the woman that died, her daughter got married, wanted us, the family, to come, and we went. And so I'd met the, or seen the minister anyway. And so they gathered the family into the pastoral study. And this room was absolutely gorgeous. It was so nice, the woodwork. Now, I've done some carpenter work, I've done a lot of janitor work. And when you mix those two together, my eyes are just open. And I'm looking at all the cuts and the colors and the everything. I'm looking it over. But I did hear the fella talk, and he made a statement to us that night. He said, "You all are in for an awesome service." And I thought, "Lord, help us." He bragged before he does it. And so we come out, and we come down. There was the seating come up, and there was, I don't know how many people in there. And we come out, and the choir was ahead of us, and they were singing and playing and so forth. And they were raising their hands, and they were praising God and so forth. But their lives don't live up to their praises. They draw near me with their mouth, but their heart is far from me. Listen, folks, the Lord wants the heart. He wants our praises, but He wants the heart. He wants it. He wants to wash it, cleanse it, and work with it. He wants to do everything He needs to do with that heart. He wants to cleanse that heart. But people are not willing to give the heart. They can't. They don't feel like that they can live above sin. They don't feel like they can have victory. And they're just caught up in a massage of lies and cheating and so forth. And so they're caught in all of this. And the Lord's saying, "Draw near to me and I'll cleanse you up. I'll cleanse you. I'll bless you. I will help you. I will work with you." Yeah. All right, let's go to Luke 22. Luke 22, about the 13th verse. No, 54 verse. Luke 22 and 54. Luke 22 and 54. "Then took they him and led him and brought him into the high priest's house. And Peter followed afar off. And when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall, and were set down together, people sat down, Peter sat down among them. But a certain maid beheld him as he sat by the fire, heralishly looked upon him, and said, 'This man was also with him.' And he denied him, saying, 'Woman, I know him not.' And after a little while, another saw him and said, 'Thou art also of them.' And Peter said, 'Man, I am not.' And about the space of 1 hour after another, confidently affirmed, saying, 'Of a truth, this fellow also is with him, for he is a Galilean.' And Peter said, 'Man, I know not what thou sayest.' And immediately, while he spake, the cock crew. The Lord turned and looked upon Peter, and Peter remembered the word of the Lord. 'I had said to him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice.' And Peter went out, and he wept bitterly." Now, what got Peter in trouble? In this reading right here, what did Peter do that got him in trouble? Why did Peter deny the Lord? It said, Peter followed afar off. In that type of time, he should have been close as he could get. But he was far off. Another scripture brings out that he warmed himself by their fire. I'm going to tell you, we need to run from them and get real close to God and to the saints. Yeah. And so Peter got in trouble because he followed afar off. He wasn't close to the Lord. He wasn't drawn nigh to the Lord. The Lord had already told him that Satan desires to sift thee. And it laid it out. He told him exactly what he was going to do. And Peter said, "I'm ready to go with thee to prison and even unto death." Listen, folks, we can say a lot, but we better live it after we say it. Yeah. We can jump and shout and praise God, but when we hit the ground, I want us to walk right. and live right and do right. And that's what the Lord's interested in. And Peter, here he talked real big, but when it got down to it, what was he doing? He was falling apart off. And he got him into trouble. See, what I'm saying tonight, you better draw an eye. You better get close to God. You better work with Him. All right, let's go to Luke 10 and 38. Remember the little story about Mary and Martha? How the Lord came to the house. Martha was real busy. And she was just getting all the food prepared. And then what was Mary doing? Was Mary up there fixing food? And I'm not against anybody cooking. Don't get me wrong. I like to eat. But Sarah said, now it came to pass as they went, he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. She had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister had left me to serve alone? Bitter, therefore, that she help me. And Jesus answered. And he said to her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. And Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. Amen. Now, out of the two of them, which was the one that was going to get real blessed? Now, I'm not saying a cook can't be blessed, but I got news for you. If you sit down and feast with Jesus, you're going to have some spiritual steaks you ain't going to get otherwise. And so Mary, she was after the good thing, the good part, and not going to be taken away from her. Listen, what we get from God in studying and praying and fasting and reading and so forth, these are things that can be written on the flesh, on the tables of our heart, and consequently those are the things that God can use to bless us down the road. It's there. It is there for you and I to enjoy and to pull from. Listen, folks, I love Cattleman's Steakhouse. I love the steaks that they serve. But I got news for you. I like God's steaks better. Yeah. When he gets the serving up, I'm right ready to go after it. Come and eat, come and dine. When the Lord said, come and dine, are you ready to come and dine? Are you fauching at the bit, so to speak, to get what he's got for you in service? Oh, tonight Martha was cumbered about. But Mary sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. I wonder what he told her. What did he say to her? What's he saying to you tonight? What's he talking to you? Now, I do not recommend you do what I had to do. But my baby daughter had moved to Kirksville, Missouri, and was going to a college up there. And Rebecca and I went up to see her. And she was going to a church there that she thought was pretty good. And she wanted mom and dad to go. Well, I don't really want to do that. But I thought, well, for a second, I guess I will. But she did warn me. She said, now, there's going to be some contemporary music you ain't going to like. I tell you from the beginning. And there was. But the pastor got up then, and he went to preaching. He was over, best I remember, in Ephesians. And I can't tell you chapter, verse, or anything about it. But he got to preaching, and the Lord started feeding me. Not from him, but from God. And he started laying it down, and I was feasting. And the Lord said, I have meat that you know not of. I'm filled. I've got things to eat. And I'm going to tell you, the Lord was pouring it on. And that preacher might have thought, well, hey, I was thanking the Lord and rejoicing. I wasn't getting too carried away. But the bottom line, that preacher might have thought I was really enjoying what he was saying. I was enjoying what God was giving me. Oh, tonight, the Lord wants to feed you. And he wants you to get out there and get it like Mary did. All right, now then. Let's go after John. I've been feasting on this for several days. The disciple John. What did the Bible call disciple John? He was known what? Huh?
Was it the one that Jesus loved?
Yeah, the beloved disciple. That's what my Bible calls him, the beloved disciple. Well, I'm wondering here tonight, why was John the beloved disciple? Now, we really don't know per se, but I'm going to throw some things out that I want you to think about. Because he was a man of love, for one thing. They say in the commentaries that he spoke of love more than 25 times in his writings. And have you ever known a person that just seemed to have a lot of love? Maybe it just kind of, I know of a preacher. I loved him dearly. He knew my mother, well, my mother knew him, he was just a little boy. And he was there, mom and them went to visit him, or he came up to see them, his mom and dad did what, I don't remember that. But anyway, he jumped up on the running board of one of them older pickups, and he said, "I'm Bobby Sorbs," and he said, "I can sing." Now, I don't know how many of you knew Brother Bob Forbes, but I knew him. I worked with him. Been in meeting with him I don't know how many times. And that was a man that love just radiated from. I can't explain it, but I don't know if I've known really anybody among the saints just quite like Brother, well, I have, just quite like Brother Bob. Love just radiated. I thought, he's got so much love. And I never have figured it out. But reckon John was that away. And reckon the Lord could feel that. Because the commentators brought out this, because he had a personality somewhat like Christ, and the Lord in him had a real, you know, sometimes people just click. You ever got somebody you just click with? There are people that fall in love first sight, they just click. What about maybe him being very devoted to the Lord? Maybe he was a very sincere person, a very obedient person. But now then, what did the Lord do for John? Let's think about this a minute. What did God do for John? He done some things that he didn't do for anybody else. Now, one thing, he was involved in the transfiguration. Remember that? Where they went up? He was involved in that. He was also involved and called to go with Christ to the garden. And then he was given the book of Revelation. He was beloved. He was close. He drew nigh. And God gave him things that he didn't give to the others. He also, what did he do? He told his mother and he told John, "You take care of her." And he did for the end of her life. They said, what I understand, the book of Revelation that the brother wrote, he said there, he said that he lived about 100 years old. He's the only one that didn't die by being killed. He lived and died a natural death. They threw him in the boiling oil. They said he was so full of the Holy Ghost they couldn't cook him. Listen, folks, tonight, he was blessed because he drew nigh and he stayed nigh to God. That no matter what they done to him, he done well because he drew nigh to God. Oh, tonight, what do you want from the Lord? There have been people that has been in real problems. And what I mean real problems, well, just like old John Bunyan. What did they do to John Bunyan? They threw him in jail, didn't they? What did he get out of it? Sometimes we get into real battles and trials and tribulations and say, what am I in here for? What's he getting to you? What are you getting out of it? The greatest things you can get is going to come out of the hardest trials you've ever been through in your life. When I got sick in 1987, I was low at one point. I wasn't just right near death, but I was in some pretty serious sickness. And Brother Clifford Wilson, Brother Ed's dad, had remarried Sister Negra. And I was in West Virginia at the time, and Brother Salmon's in the congregation there. And I was out there and very sick. And Brother Clifford come out there and he was there praying and working with me along with Brother Salmon's and so forth. And Brother Clifford told me this. He said, "Son," he said, "let me tell you something." He said, "this affliction time that you've been in is like a film strip." And he said, "you're going to use this the rest of your life." And he said, "you're going to use it in your ministry." Well, I didn't know at that point that I was going to start pastoring in about 3 months. No less than that, about 2 months. No, well, whatever. Not too long. And so he told me, he said, "you're going to have a problem arise with somebody. They're going to come to you or whatever, need counsel, whatever." And he said, "you can pull up one of these blocks or these deals in it, and you're going to look at that, and you're going to remember what you went through, and you can help them. Well, I listened to what he said. I thought about it. But listen, folks, that was the making of my pastorship. That sickness helped to set me into place. And not only did I use it for that, but I still use it many, many years later. That was in 1987, and I'm still using it today. I can have people call me. I can have them explain things on the phone. And I say, I can understand what you're suffering because I was there. I got that out of severe suffering. I didn't get it because I'd run high on the Golden Gate Bridge. I got it because I had gone through something. Listen, John went through some things. Peter went through some things. Different ones. Paul went through some things. Their life was not a flowery bed of ease. But listen, folks, they draw nigh to God and they were blessed and they were used of God over and over and over down through their lifetime. What do you want tonight? All right, let's wrap it up. Let's go to Psalm 73. Psalms, the 73rd chapter. Psalm 73:23 said, "Nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Thou hast holden me by my right hand. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel ever, and afterward receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none on earth that I desire beside thee. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. For lo, they that are far from thee shall perish. Thou hast destroyed them that go a whoring from thee. But it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all thy works. It is good to me to draw." It's good for you to draw near to God. He said, whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. When somebody falls in love with somebody else, they lose their desire for other people. They want one person. That's all they want. And they go after them. If it's a man in particular, they go after them and do all they can do to win their heart. And sometimes it don't happen easy. Sometimes it takes a little bit of work, so to speak. But they finally win that hand of that lady, they marry her, and they live happily ever after. But they didn't get it unless they went after it. All right, let's finish up. Hebrews 10:38-39. Said it is good for me that I draw nigh to God. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we're not of them who draw back into perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Lord, help us tonight that we draw nigh and not draw back. The Lord wants us to get close to him. He wants us to have a close relationship with him. How are you doing? What are you interested in tonight? Why are you here? The Lord is here, and I'm hearing good things about Fresno. I'm not throwing no stones now because I'm hearing good things. But I also know that you're human. I also know that the devil's after every one of us in here. And so consequently, he's going to put things out there to try to stir us up and get our attention where we will be wanting more of God. We appreciate your time, your attention, your prayers. Pray for me. I want to make heaven my home.